You introduce us as the eldest.
Yeah, Adam.
Yeah, Adam.
Hi.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
Sound like the same.
Hi, welcome to our TV show.
You made a place for me, opened up my eyes to see the wonders of my father's love. And from eternity.
It was definitely easier when the kids were younger.
Yeah, we do try to take advantage of our message series, because we do here at St. Paul's on the Bridge, we do them as a series. It allows us to have a story that we're kind of tracking with a little bit. So usually on Monday we'll maybe look at the key passage in the message and then
discuss thoughts from the sermon that literally jumped out to us.
And for us, we've made that commitment to be up early in the morning during the school week. After breakfast and everybody's ready for the morning, we try to have like a short 10-15 minute devotion and prayer time.
In terms of making just like the sacrifice, I necessarily don't see it as a sacrifice, because I just see it as such a benefit for me. I'd rather just not have an extra 15 minutes of sleep if it means that I just get that refreshment for the day, especially being at a public institution where you don't get that encouragement.
We don't do this perfectly. It's a lot easier during the school year when everybody, there is that structure, so everybody is up in the morning.
I mean, yeah, last year I was able to have Pastor Becker for Living Christianity, and so we talked like about a lot of different things in that class, and so if like he would say something like that I thought was like interesting, or I thought like the rest of the family should hear, I'd like bring that back home, and then we'd talk about it the next day.
I think I appreciate hearing prayers, hearing what's on the hearts of our kids, and honestly, as one who's shepherding too, trying to challenge us to say, okay, these are things that we may be asking God for ourselves, but what are you seeing that's for other people? So sometimes we have a chance to challenge each other. You know, who are you praying for? Adam the other day asked everybody one thing that you're thankful for, one thing that you're praying for. Well, Thomas's skill is picking stuff out of the blue that you're like, how did you pick this? You did this the other day. What did you say you wanted to read about?
Yeah, so I couldn't remember the last time I read The Sun Stand Still, when God made the sun stop at like noon for like a day. I'm like, how would they manage to know when the next day started?
Come up with, I mean, that's the thought that he'll, and all of a sudden we're into a place in God's word that none of us would have ever thought to go. We just couldn't do it in the evening anymore. Nobody's around on a regular basis. This was the only time that we could do it. And so starting the day as a family with God's word and prayer, this is where we put our stake in the ground.
You made a place for me, opened up my eyes to see the wonders of my Father's love.
Good morning, everybody. Those words that Mike ended with, I think, are very powerful. You know, this is where we put our stake in the ground. You know, those very words imply that this whole idea of the family church, the responsibility that we have to be pastors of our families, to be pastors of our small groups, pastors of our circle of friends, that we have people under our spiritual care, that it is so hard. And we pound the stake in the ground and we hold on for dear life. It implies commitment and strength. And I am so thankful that Mike and his family are like that. Problem is, I tend to compare myself with other people. I don't measure up to that, you know? I don't know if I have that kind of power. That's why I appreciate the lesson for today. Today's lesson reminds me of something that I got to do a couple of years ago. You know, my son began working at Case IH, and so for my birthday, he went with me on a factory tour. I'm pretty sure, you know, all you Case IH dealers out there, make sure that you're noticing this. I get a good deal next time. But I got to see what I had experienced. You know, I'd experienced the power of tractors. I grew up on a farm, but I had never seen how power was put together. And what the Apostle Paul is doing for us today in our lesson from Ephesians is he is taking on us, taking us on God's power factory tour. He is letting us see how power is built into our families so that by God's grace we can do amazing things. So I would invite you to turn, if you have Bibles with you, to page 947 or open up your phone app to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to chapter 2, verse 10. Somebody should tell my friends that I preach during this time, don't text me. Sorry. All right. So, Ephesians chapter 5, as you're getting there, remember how Paul started this letter to the Ephesians. He reminded them of their identity. And as we talk about this whole idea of being pastors of our family churches, that people are under our spiritual care and looking up to us, it's really important that we remember who we really are. You know, the devil is going to tell us all kinds of lies, but like that song that we just sang says, who are we really? According to Paul's words, we're chosen by God, we're his sons, we're his daughters, and we are perfectly forgiven. We are holy and blameless in his sight. And after establishing our identity, then Paul begins his prayer for the Ephesians. So chapter 1, verse 15. It's a long section, so I'm going to read through the whole section and then refer back to it through the course of the message. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And then chapter 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh or our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, but as a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. It just struck me over the last week or so that Paul, in his prison letters, talks an awful lot about prayer. You know, Paul, as he's writing this letter and Colossians and Philippians and Philemon, he is in prison in Rome. And it would seem like there's nothing that he can do for the churches. But he knows that he can pray. And I mention this because I know that some of us could very easily check out of this whole family church series because we don't have kids in the house anymore, or you're single, or you're divorced or widowed, and you know what? This just doesn't really apply to me. But no matter where we are in life, just like Paul sitting in prison, we can be involved. Because the family churches present here in the Bridge, the family churches that you know, they need your prayers. And Paul's prayer for the family churches that existed in his day was that the eyes of their hearts would be opened. The eyes of their hearts would be opened to see what? To see God's power. That is awesome power. I don't know where that came from. Thank you. All right. So, then he gives us this tour of Jesus, of God's power. He starts with this tour behind a rock. The text tells us that Jesus... Oh, nothing's working well for me today, let me tell you. Okay. The text tells us that God used his power when he raised Christ from the dead. That power that's in the family churches, we're going to talk about that. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So, this is impossible, right? The whole idea that somebody is dead and comes alive again. Even as a kid, you understand that. You know, I remember one time kids woke up, they went into the kitchen, looked in the fishbowl, and Melissa was swimming on her side. Maybe you've experienced that. And nothing that we could do could make Melissa swim this way anymore. So all we did is we just had kind of a ceremony around the toilet as we buried her at sea, you know. Dead is dead. You learn that from little on. But God begins this tour by saying, let's see how the stone was rolled away and look inside the tomb on Easter that Jesus is alive. You see, this is what our faith is based on, this absolute certainty that Jesus rose from the dead. That's why I encourage you over and over again to read the Easter accounts, to read through Paul's letters and the other letters of the New Testament, and then just see how they are so certain that the one who is dead is alive again. This is some pretty incredible power to make somebody who was dead alive. And then God gave that person who was dead all the power in the world. He seated him at his right hand, then verse 20, seated him at his right hand, verse 20, in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. By reading through Paul's letters to the Ephesians and Colossians, it's pretty clear that when he talks about rules, rulers, powers, authorities, dominion, he's talking about the spiritual forces out there in the world. He's talking about the good angels and the bad angels. And on this factory tour, we see that God gives Jesus all the power in the world. There is no equal to his power. Now, this is really hard to believe. Just this week again, a pastor who had blessed thousands with his ministry had to resign. And it just seems like, man, is Jesus really all that powerful? It just seems like the devil wins so many times. And that's why, you know, whenever you go on this power factor tour, you always have to kind of start all over again and go back to the beginning. Did Jesus come forth from the grave? Did God use his power to raise Jesus from the dead? If that's true, then all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. And that's true too, even though we can't see it. And he's given that authority to Jesus for a purpose. He goes on and says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything. And this is the key phrase, for the church. If you would read a sermon about this passage or read a commentary about this passage, you'd probably see a capital C for church. This is church in the way that we confess in the Apostles' Creed, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. This church consists of everybody who has ever believed in Jesus all over the world, no matter what denomination, whoever believes in Jesus is part of this church. And Jesus has this limitless power for the church. That's true here in the Bridge. Because as a believer, there are believers here, so the church is here. That's true for you online. If you're a believer, the church is right there. And he's ruling all things for the church, for the Bridge, but also for your families. Because as you gather as a family of believers, the church is right there. That's a gathering of the church. And Jesus has this limitless power entrusted to him for this purpose, to help the church, your family. The trouble is, this powerful God uses strange equipment. He does. You know, if you've never grown up on a farm, it's really hard to understand why is it that they have so many different things to destroy things. You know, there's the moldboard plow, and there's the chisel plow, and there's the disc, and they all basically do the same thing. They destroy everything that they go over. But of course, you know that the farmer hitches these implements to this powerful tractor to prepare the soil for a good crop. If you're not familiar with it, these are strange implements. And that's true for us too. God uses strange implements that we can't fully grasp and understand. You know, about 10 days ago, Hurricane Florence comes into North Carolina. The first fatalities that I heard about were a mom and her 7-month-old baby. They were just sitting in their house. They weren't doing anything risky. God, why is it that this mom, who is a mother of 3 other children, why is it that she and her 7-month-old son died? God, I don't get it. Strange implement. In our families, why is it, God, that this one week, there are 3 families who have experienced the fear or the pain of losing a child that's not born yet? Why, God, why? And the answer is, I don't know. Except I go back through this factory and I see that even though I don't understand it, that Jesus is ruling all things for the church, that God has given Jesus the power over all things here on earth. And then I go back to the empty tomb and see that God used his power to raise Jesus from the dead. That's the guarantee that this is true. And why was he in the grave? Because he loved you and he loved me, and he died on the cross for you and me. That's what guarantees what we cannot see with our eyes. This is what Paul was praying. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts to see what cannot be seen, that we might see your power and reinterpret what's happening around us. Just know you are still this God of love and power who is in control. And if you believe that, I got great news for you. There's another wing to this tour. In Ephesians chapter 2, he takes us on the second wing of God's power factory. There's a blank on your worship folder. Put your own name in there. I'm going to take you on Pete's wing of God's power factory tour. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, he begins by saying that this tour starts under a rock. I say that because, you know, as growing up on a farm, I lifted lots of rocks, and so often there were creepy, crawly things underneath the rocks, you know. Blah! Kind of reminds me that when God takes a look at us, it's like he's pulling a rock back and going, yuck! He says, as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were just as dead spiritually as Jesus was dead physically in the tomb. That's where the tour starts. But God raised you with Christ. Just as surely as Jesus was raised by God's power, God, the God of grace, uses his power to raise you to spiritual life so that you believe this impossible stuff. Not only that Jesus rose from the dead and that you're going to rise from the dead, but that God is in absolute control even over the tragedies that happen in our lives and the things that just don't seem to be happening right. God is still in control. He has given you that spiritual life. And you have a power that has no equal. In Ephesians 2, it says, not only did God raise us up with Christ, but it also then says, he seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Brothers and sisters, this is something that we can only see with the eyes of our hearts. That right now, just as surely as Jesus sits at the right hand of God and rules all things for the church, you and I, as believers, are sitting with Jesus at the right hand of God, and there is limitless power. The power that you and I have has no equal. Not that we can wield it on our own, but this God of power says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. So let's seek and knock and find for our families. Let's not give up. You have a power of grace that has no equal. Pray. And then you have a purpose, that you are God's masterpiece to do good works. This goes back to the whole idea of the call, the vocation that we talked about last week. That you are where you're at in your family, as a mom or a dad, a grandma or grandpa, uncle, aunt, child. You are where you're at in your small group or circle of Christian friends. You are at where you are at work, not by accident, but because God has placed you there so that you can use the life that he has given you and the unimaginable power. Nobody else who's not a Christian can understand the power that is at our disposal. We have a God who can do all things. And he says, ask, ask, ask. We are there to do good works, to serve him in our relationships within our family churches. But here's the tough news. Jesus pulls strange implements. You and I have to pull unknown implements. God created us to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. He knows, but you and I don't. I don't know how God wants you to bless your families. So very often you and I are going to be scratching our head and going, okay, does my child need some stern discipline, or is his spirit or her spirit already crushed and we just need to build him up? What does our child need at this point? What does my friend need to hear? How am I going to find the time? Where is it that I'm going to put my stake in the ground, and this is where I'm going to do my family devotions and my private devotions, and this is the material I'm going to use? You know, the implements that you're going to use, the implements that I'll have to use today and tomorrow and the next day, I don't know them. The great news is God knows exactly the implements that you need to use. And you have a God of limitless power who hears your prayers. Our families are hurting. Every one of our families is hurting and in pain in some way. I am absolutely certain. And it's easy to give up, because it just seems like the devil's winning. And nothing we do is good enough and right. And that's why I encourage you to go back on this tour again. Go back on God's power factory tour, so that you see that he is ruling for you and your family, and that he has limitless power. And so do you. Because it's his power that is at work in your family. Amen. At this time, I would ask you to take the offering buckets that are on this side of the aisles and pass them across. Please remember to turn in your connection cards as well. If you have prayer requests, you know, hold on to it and write a prayer request on. We'd love to be praying for you. We appreciate you letting us know that you're here with us. And for those of you who are online, let us know, email us, or if you're on Facebook, let us know that you're watching. That encourages all of us, and we'll be praying for you. Let us know if you have prayer requests that we can share with you.